And welcome to the first ever edition of the Bricks and Ivy podcast. It is also part of Brawl's Brat Talk. So if you subscribe to that, you will be hearing this. It will also be on our Facebook page. Basically, what this podcast wants to do is talk about Chicago Cubs baseball, hence Bricks and Ivy. And really, today, it's an intro podcast. It's not going to be very long. But I want to talk a little bit about their pitching. This whole offseason has been filled with moves for the Cubs. Obviously, the headliners are Zobrist and Hayward, and we will talk about them next Tuesday for the second edition of the Bricks and Ivy podcast. But today, let's talk pitching. In the starting rotation, in case you forgot, they signed John Lackey to a two-year deal worth $32 million. That's a very nice paycheck. So, looking at the rotation, the top four are pretty much set. You got Arrieta, who last year went 22-6 with a 1.77 ERA, one of the most historic second halves, actually probably the best second half in Major League Baseball history, which ended up winning him a Cy Young Award. So they have a Cy Young Award winner as their number one, so that's pretty good. At two, you got John Lester, whose numbers are a little deceiving. Last year went 11-12 with a 3.34 ERA. Now people will look at that and say, well, why'd they pay Lester all that money? If you watched his starts, he normally was very good. Usually. He had a few games where it seemed that he either lacked command or his velocity on his fastball dipped a little bit. But I'm not real concerned about that. I would be more concerned with Lester in a couple years when he's more into his contract and he's a little bit older. As of right now, I thought Lester was not fantastic, but he was very solid, a very solid number two. And really, in the postseason, he was their ace. Arrieta struggled in the postseason, and as Arrieta has said, he had a little arm fatigue. He had never gone over 200 innings before. Last year, he threw 224. So, Lester gets a lot of grief. But, really, realistically, Lester is a very solid number two, even though the numbers are deceiving. A lot of the times, he just wasn't getting run support. So, Lester is their number two. Number three, the new guy, John Lackey, was St. Louis last year. He went 13-10 with a 2.77 ERA. Obviously a solid addition, and quite frankly, he's better than what they had. I am excited that they got him. Obviously, he's not a sexy name like a Johnny Cueto, a David Price, or even a Jeff Samardzija. He's not sexy by any means, but he's a solid number three, and I think that's all really the Cubs wanted. They went after David Price, and there are reports now that are saying that they were $50 million behind everybody else. So yes, they wanted David Price. I don't think he would have been fantastic for the rotation, but I think the Cubs, you could see in their later moves going after Zobrist and Hayward, you could tell that they wanted Price, but they weren't going to back up the truck because they had other ideas in mind. And I think even going back to last year when Hayward was traded to St. Louis, I really think the Cubs really, really liked Jason Hayward. And I think by not going bananas for David Price, I think that enabled them to get Jason Hayward, who really, at this point, might be a more valuable piece to the Cubs than David Price would be. So John Lackey is their number three. Number four guy, Kyle Hendricks. Last year, people, including myself, were expecting not big things from him, but to be a solid mid-rotation guy. He went 8-7 with a 3.95 ERA. Not sexy. He did his job. You know, back end starter. You know, you don't expect a guy to go or put up Arrieta numbers, in other words. Hendricks, to me, is an interesting case because he doesn't throw hard, which in a league that can't hit, if you can't throw hard, you really have to pitch. You learn how to pitch instead of throw, as an old coach used to tell me. Hendricks is a guy, he's a sinker baller, which I think helps his case. He's got a nasty changeup. He's not going to blow you away with the fastball. What he does with his fastball that's interesting is that he can locate on either side of the plate. Hendricks knows how to pitch. He doesn't have overpowering stuff. He's not going to blow a 97-mile-an-hour fastball by you. But what Hendricks can do is he can give you 6 or 7 innings a night every time he goes out there every fifth day. And he can, you know, keep your team in the game. And I think in the playoffs, his best start, actually, he had a couple nice starts where against St. Louis in the NLDS, he only gave up 3 runs through 5 innings. Yes, they pulled him, but that's because 2 of those 3 runs came off back-to-back homers, and Madden, obviously, you can't toy around in the playoffs, so Madden pulled him. But Hendricks is a solid back end of the rotation guy. I don't think he's ever going to be anything more than that. But Hendricks is a nice piece at number 4. In the number 5 spot, I think there's going to be competition. Madden, Epstein, Hoyer, none of them have said anything about a 5th starter competition. But Jason Hamill last year, and history repeats itself. The Cubs in 2014 had Jason Hamill, who had a fantastic first half. I actually was at a game in 2014 where he pitched. He dominated the Brewers 7 innings, no runs. He was fantastic. But with Jason Hamill, every July-ish, it's normally right around the All-Star break, Jason Hamill takes a dive. His first half is always fantastic. But the second half always gets worse. And not marginally worse. We're talking ridiculously worse. There were a lot of games last year that if you watch the Cubs as closely as I do, I watch 162 games a year. There were games where he would get pulled in the fourth inning and he was actually doing well. But Joe Madden understood that this guy has an issue with big innings. And quite frankly, in a lot of cases, it was detrimental to the team. They still won 97 games. Don't get me wrong. But if Hamill would have been a little more productive in the second half, who's to say this team couldn't have won 3 more of his starts? Hamill's a decent guy, but the Cubs can do better. They're in a win-now position. They're a World Series contender. Everyone knows that throughout the moves they made this year and even last year when no one expected them to be contending. Hamill is a guy who is a nice trade chip if he has another good first half. I think they can flip Hamill. I think when September comes around, I don't think Jason Hamill will be on the roster. And if he is, he'll be in the bullpen. Now, the question is, who else would start in his place? There are a couple names that I find interesting for that 5th starter spot. Travis Wood, obviously we know what he can give. He's a lefty. I would rather see him in the bullpen. He did fantastic coming out of the pen. He closed a game out. He got a couple saves when they gave Rondon a day off. He's a good left-handed specialist. So Travis Wood is more suited for the bullpen, and I think that's his niche. Or however you say that word. But I think Wood is more suited for the bullpen, especially after seeing him last year. His velocity went up a tick. He just seemed to have a little more confidence. I think Wood is suited for the bullpen. But he's still going to be stretched out in spring training, and we'll see what happens. Another candidate, Clayton Richard. Cubs got him off the scrap heap from, I believe, the White Sox last year. Had designated him for assignment, and the Cubs said, hey, come on over. He started a game against the Marlins and was really good for 5 or 6 innings. And I think that if he were to somehow win the number 5 starter job, I think, like Hamill, he would start out okay. I don't see him being a 200 innings guy, and I don't know if that's what they want out of a 5th starter. I don't think it is. But I think Richard is more of a spot start kind of guy. The most interesting case, and I think the most competition Hamill's going to have, is the guy that they just re-signed on a one-year deal, Trevor Cahill. Trevor Cahill was a Cy Young candidate almost every year when he was at the Oakland A's. Then he lost his touch, lost his mojo. Goes to Atlanta. No success. Cubs pick him up. They put him in the bullpen. One of the most dominant setup men that probably in the postseason last year. He was fantastic. So now, he says he's rejuvenated. He wants to start. Trevor Cahill is a guy who, when you look at him now, he's not a sexy name anymore. His star lost a little bit of that shine. If Trevor Cahill can find the magic that made him the Trevor Cahill with Oakland, Cubs have a steal. He's only got a one-year deal. So, obviously, if he has a great year, regardless, they're going to have to pay out. If he has a great year as a setup man, if he has a great year as a number five, or, you know, if he's good, a number four, you know, they're going to have to pay him, and I don't think they will. But they might. The free agent class for 2016-2017 is not great. I think probably the top free agent off the top of my head is Carlos Gomez. He's not a bad player. But if that's your headliner of the free agent class, I think that tells you a lot. So personally, I would like to see Cahill get a shot at that number five spot, or even the number four. You know, four or five doesn't really matter. Hendricks or Cahill, whatever. I think Hamill's going to get the job. But I really do believe that if Cahill can recapture any of that magic, he will be a phenomenal number four or five. Even if he gives you 5-6 innings a night, that's no worse than what Hamill's going to give you in the second half. And honestly, if Hamill wins the battle out of spring training, I think Cahill will be starting by the time the All-Star break comes around. I think if Cahill's in the... Depending on how Cahill does in the bullpen, if he's got a setup role and an important one, they're not going to tinker with that. Joe Maddon's smart enough, he wouldn't tinker with that. But if he's more of a middle relief guy, kind of gives spot starts and Hamill struggles, I can easily see Cahill taking the number five spot, which actually makes me very excited because I think Cahill can be a very nice number four or number five. So that's a starting rotation. Let's talk a little about the bullpen. None of them have re-signed. Cahill has come back. They still have guys like Travis Wood, Pedro Strop, obviously their stud closer Hector Rondon, Justin Grimm. Hopefully Neil Ramirez can come back. They did bring in guys like Rex Brothers. They're very small moves to the bullpen. I think there's Zach Roscup's another guy. Adam Warren, who they got in the trade for Starlin Castro, he might be in the bullpen. He might also be in the number five conversation. I don't know much about him, so maybe he competes for the number five. We don't really know, but he'll be a nice addition to the bullpen, a nice swing guy. The bullpen, the only thing that concerns me is depth. Last year, they had Rondon, who could close. They had Strope, who could close. Travis Wood showed the ability to close. Fernando Rodney could close, if need be. They tried Rafael Soriano. That was a complete disaster. Then you got your long-term... Neil Ramirez could close a game. Justin Grimm could close a game. You had your specialist, Clayton Richard, Travis Wood, your lefty specialist. James Russell, who was okay. He wasn't great, but he was a serviceable guy. I think a name that, and I don't have any information or any rumor linking him to the Cubs, but an interesting name would be Tyler Clippard. Still out on the free agent market. I don't think he's going to be incredibly expensive. If he drops, or if he falls to be a free agent still in early February or late January, why not see what he's worth? Kick the tires. There are reports that they're trying to re-sign Fernando Rodney, which would be a nice piece. I think Rodney's a solid closer. I think he found a little bit of the Tampa Bay magic late in the year last year. He did okay in the playoffs. I think he only had one appearance and he didn't do anything, you know, notable, but he was solid. I just think that this bullpen, and they're not done, obviously. They have a long way to go. I think they have a couple more moves left in them, specifically for the bullpen. My only concern is depth there. They have a lot of young guys, you know, Strope, Ramirez, Grimm, all the guys I've mentioned before, Rondon. They have a lot of guys that are very talented, very good. But my concern, as I've said now several times, is depth. Depth, depth, depth. Any good bullpen needs depth. If you look at what the Kansas City Royals did to the Mets, their starters wouldn't be great. They would go 4 or 5 innings. Their bullpen was so deep and so dominant, it did not matter. The Mets were done after 4. They had a closer for every inning. You could not beat them. And that's why I thought they would win against the Giants, is because their bullpen was so good. The Giants found a way. That was in 2014. Speaking of the Giants, it's 2016. Look out for the Giants. But focusing back on the Cubs, my concern is the depth with the bullpen. For the starting rotation, it's the back end. We don't really know what we're going to get out of Kyle Hendricks. Jason Hamill's going to be up and down as he's been the last couple years. We don't necessarily know what we're going to get out of these guys. The top three, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get 6 to 7 innings a night, maybe a complete game here or there. Their ERAs are going to be anywhere from high 1 point, you know, the high ones to the lower threes. The back end, a little questionable, but like I said, Hendricks went 8-7 last year with a 3.97, and Hamill was right around there as well. This is a solid group. I think the rotation's underrated. I would have liked to have seen them get another starter, and they still might. There are trade rumors where, you know, they send Soler or Baez for Danny Salazar, Carlos Carrasco, Tyson Ross, a guy like that. Young, controllable starter. Obviously, I want to talk about the position players next week. Today, I wanted to focus on pitching. Next week, we're going to talk more about Zobrist, Hayward, the position players. But as of right now, if this team were to take the field tomorrow, I would feel pretty damn good about their chances, not only to make it to October, but deep into October. Although the bullpen scares me a little bit. Well, that's all for the Brixen Ivy podcast today. If you liked it, if you think we needed to, you know, change things up a little bit, let us know. I will be taking emails at BroughtToBratTalk@gmail.com. Facebook, as usual, looks up on Facebook. Tweet us at BBT Sports. Thank you for listening to the first ever podcast, first episode, I should say, of the Bricks and Ivy podcast. We will be back next Tuesday to talk a little bit more about the position players and a little more of the rumors for the Brawl Sprat Talk podcast. We will be back on Monday to talk more football. I had an episode, before we leave, I should explain. Yesterday's podcast was recorded. It's fantastic. Unfortunately, the file was too big to put on iTunes because I put a lot of extra time and effort into it. So it's a big file. It wouldn't go on iTunes. So I apologize for that. If you really want to see the episode, I can send you that. No problem. Just let me know on Facebook, Twitter, or email. And yeah, I'm very disappointed about that. But, you know, you live with things. Mistakes happen. No big deal. Today's will be up. It's all audio. Talking Cubs, Bricks and Ivy Podcast Episode 1 is over. Thank you for listening. Spread the word about Brawl Sprat Talk, and we will see you with Brawl Sprat Talk, the podcast, Monday, and the next Bricks and Ivy edition will be on Tuesday. Bye, guys.